On this episode of the History Worth Saving podcast, we're talking to a wildlife artist, a guy who can bring nature right into your living room or wherever you hang great paintings. And I have to tell you, in full disclosure, how I came about his work. I was walking through a major retail store, an outdoor store, one of these places that is a complete immersive experience. Right when you walk in, the roaring fire, even if it's in the summertime, it draws you in to this world, this idealized world where we all feel so comfortable and cozy. I don't know what another word for it, but there was a painting and I noticed a gentleman staring at it, and it was of this cabin by the river. And there was a fly fisherman standing there enjoying the morning or the afternoon, whatever it might have been. And this guy was completely captured. He's just standing there staring at it. And it was this light switch that went off in my head, and I thought, man, I gotta talk to this artist, because whatever he's selling, I wanna buy it and I wanna live it. And joining us today is none other than the guy who painted that painting, Dallin Lamson. He's a wildlife artist out there in Idaho, where he has at his beck and call these vistas and views that all of the rest of us dream about and dream about living in. And this guy gets to do it every day. Dallin, welcome to History Worth Saving. Thanks for being here.
Well, thank you. It's my pleasure. Thanks so much for having me.
What are you selling in these paintings, Dallin? What is that? What is that feeling that we get when we stare into these things?
I'll tell you what, that's a really good question. Some days I think I know the answer to that, and other days I wonder a little bit if I know the answer to that. And I say that because I'm one of those people that, feels very blessed to do what I absolutely love to do as an occupation, drawing and painting pictures. And maybe this is a long-winded answer to your question, but what I find interesting is every once in a while I'll produce something as an artist that, artistically speaking, I think I've knocked something out of the park. I think I've just nailed it. And I assume that the general public, the buying public, is going to feel that same way about it. And it's been a humbling experience to realize sometimes that's not entirely true.
You mean they don't like everything you put out? Imagine that as an artist.
Sometimes I am not on the same page with the buying public.
Right.
But that being said, I think generally speaking, there are some universals. One of those universals is when life seems especially hectic, when life seems especially hard, when what we're hearing on the news or reading about is hard on the ears or abrasive to our senses, we all kind of have this yearning to be somewhere where there's some serenity, you know, somewhere where there's some peace. And I think as often as not, we associate that with nature. I think there's just something kind of inherent within us that we kind of have that yearning to be in those places, those majestic, beautiful, God-created places that give us that sense of serenity that at various and sundry times I think we all crave.
Well, I want to just get this in here because you're not just a run-of-the-mill artist. You were honored as Artist of the Year by both the Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation and the Mule Deer Foundation. And for folks who are not hunters or avid outdoorsmen, those names might seem foreign, but I would encourage you to go to DallinLamsonArt.com and check out his work as we do this show. And for your convenience, we're just going to quick link it right there at the bottom of the show's story. You can just click on that link and it'll take you there, and you can still listen to this show if you open it up in another window. But Dallin, how did you get started in this? I know you've come from a family of artists, but that doesn't necessarily mean you're going to be an artist. How did you fall in love with this?
You are exactly right. My dad, Hayden Lamson, whom I do not mind bragging on a little bit, because in addition to being a magnificent artist, he's just a wonderful human being. And I'm the lucky guy that gets to call him dad. But yeah, he's a wildlife artist. He still produces wildlife art, not at the pace that he used to when he had, 10 mouths to feed. But when I was just a little tyke, he had converted what was our garage into a very comfortable, homey studio. And I'd go out in that studio and just sit on the steps that stepped down into that studio, and those were adjacent to his easel where he was working. I'd sit on those steps, and for hours, I mean, literally hours, I would just watch him paint, because I was so intrigued, just so fascinated by that creative process. Just watching that blank canvas slowly come to life and become something majestic, something beautiful. That process was always so fascinating to me. And I loved that I got to be that fly on the wall, that it was so close and readily available to me. And so those are my earliest memories, kind of the victim of my upbringing is what I like to tell people.
Was there ever a point, though, where your dad said, you know, look, I think you need to maybe look at becoming a dermatologist, or maybe you need to be a cardiologist, or how about a trial attorney, son? Anything but art. I mean, or did he not do that? And was he one of these rare fathers that just brings you into it?
Well, let me put it this way, as someone who is a dad myself to six children, I cannot believe he didn't have that conversation with me somewhere along the way. He was that rare individual that you referenced. He was that someone who was very encouraging, very supportive. You know, I mentioned those formative years sitting in that studio with him and watching him do what he did. And part and parcel to all that was kind of a pattern that I still follow a little bit, and that is I'd grab a sheet of paper and I would draw something, crayon, pencil, pen, you know, whatever I could get my hands on back then, and I would draw something, usually an animal, because that's what I thought was neat. And I would take it to him and I'd say, here's what I drew, Dad, what do you think? And I loved his approach, because he would spend the first couple of minutes in a very matter-of-fact way, even to me as this young little tyke, you know. But he would say, oh, gosh, Dallin, here are some things I really like about what you've done here. And he'd point out some things that he felt were pretty successful about this, you know, what must have been pretty shoddy work as a little kid. But it was important to him that we start out on a positive note. And then from there, he would say, now, here are some things that I think if you tweaked it, if you worked it just a little bit, would make this even better. And he'd give me some suggestions, and I'd work on that a little bit and then bring it back to him for more feedback. And to this day, I'll do a painting, and I'll put it out there on social media where he can see it along with everybody else. And sometimes he'll shoot me a message in private and say, hey, Dallin, I like this, but
here it comes.
here are some things that might make this even better. And gosh, I learned all kinds of good stuff from that. For one thing, how to be a semi-decent parent myself. And for another, how to take constructive criticism. And for another, just a sense of what it takes to get really good at something, which as often as not involves some constructive criticism along the way. And having the thick skin to take it.
Boy, isn't that the truth. You know, and so many folks who probably see your work have opinions, who are, you know, perhaps critical, perhaps uncritical, perhaps the worst in the world is, my goodness, that is the most amazing thing I've ever seen. And you hear that over and over and over again. You know, I get that too. But I think that your work stands on its own. I wanted to bring this up because I think that so oftentimes when artists reach commercial success, they're sort of written off. And I remember this show that I did about the author Gary Riley. He was a cab driver, and he said, I'm going to paraphrase it, and I'm probably going to mess it all up, but he said to the effect, he said, you know, I would love to become a writer, a serial and commercial writer, but I don't know if I have the talent to sink that low. And I always thought that that was just so amazing. He published 25 books posthumously after his friends found them in his apartment. He was a Denver cab driver. And it's a great story from our first season. But I see guys like yourself who hit that stride, and you're in the big stores. You're in shows and successful as an artist and able to make a living. And sometimes, you know, the other painters, they look at you and they go, well, you know, whatever. But the work stands on its own. I want to ask you, though, about your early work, because when you talked about your father and the constructive criticism for everybody, I know so many artists who hear something or see something that they did 10 or 15 years ago and they go, man, I just don't know. Do you have one of those, but that it's the family favorite, or it's, you know, it still commercially sells and you just kind of cringe, or is it, are you still happy with everything?
That's a good question. I trying to think of how best to answer that, quite frankly. there's a challenge in kind of inherent, I think, in what I do. And I think a lot of other artists, as I've talked to other artists, can kind of speak to this. And that is that if you're doing a piece of art, particularly maybe something a little larger or a little more technical, that's more time involved, you stare at it for a long time, hours, and the hours turn into days, and sometimes the days turn into weeks. And in that process, it's very easy to become a little bit numb to what it is you're working on. And so on the one hand, I've got to be pleased with it. I've got to feel good about it before I sign my name on it and put it out there for the world to see, and possibly even publish it and get it out there to different outlets and whatnot. And so at some level, I need to like it before it ever gets to that point. But by the same token, there's this side of us artists that we tend to be hypercritical of ourselves. And in some ways, that's how we get good. In other ways, that can be the death of us. But in that process, sometimes it isn't until I've looked at a piece years later that I'm able to really appreciate it. To give myself that kind of time and space, that distance from it, to where you can look at it and get something of kind of that fresh knee-jerk reaction to seeing it, almost as if you're seeing it for the first time. In fact, that's something I tell people all the time. I'm like, I have a hard time really appreciating my own work. Usually it's the work of other artists that I find I'm able to really enjoy and appreciate, because I haven't had to stare at it day in, day out.
Right.
I get to look at it and enjoy the pleasure of just that breath of fresh air as you take in a beautiful piece of art for the first time.
Well, you know, I get all of the mountain scenes, and I get the wildlife, if you will. But you're so diverse, and you go to your website there. Again, it's quick linked into the show story, DallinLamsonArt.com. But if you go there, the breadth of your work, I mean, you have sharks on here, you have saltwater fish. You don't walk out in the middle of Idaho and find a big trophy trout out there like where I'm from. I grew up down in South Texas, live in Georgia now, but I'm, you know, so many paintings down there of redfish and trout. On the strike and just amazing imagery. But I look at yours and I think, here's a guy out, you know, in the wilds of Idaho, who's painting this stuff, and it just speaks to your talent. And I think that's remarkable. Where do you see yourself in a few years? What are you striving for and working on right now? Because clearly you're doing all right with this stuff. What keeps you excited about painting?
Well, first of all, thank you for your very kind words. I genuinely appreciate all that. I was very blessed to have some wonderful coattails where my dad was in that industry for so long. And so when I started out professionally, you know, trying to do art and make money doing it, It didn't take a lot of, it took a lot of effort, but it didn't take a lot of convincing, I should say, for a publisher to pick me up and say, we like what you're doing. Would you produce art for us? If we like it, we'll publish it and we'll just kind of write up a business arrangement here. And so we were able to make that happen. And what I learned very quickly is, depending on who you do work for, you're either catering to a very broad audience or you're catering to a fairly, niche sort of audience. And in this case, with this particular publisher, and these are the same people responsible for getting the work that I do into the Bass Pro stores and Cabela stores and whatnot. But they've got a rather broad customer base. From the people who love to see and hear and hunt bull elk in the Northwest, to people that love to go saltwater fishing off the Florida Keys, they cater to all of those folks. And so, as an artist, my challenge was to do the best I could artistically to try to cater to those people on canvas. To produce art that you could sell to that guy that loved bull elk in the West, and hopefully something for those that love chasing tarpon down in the Keys or mahi-mahi. I find that's very fun, by the way, just that range, the option of being able to one day paint a polar bear and another day paint a mahi-mahi from down in the tropics. That kind of variety is just the spice of life, and I love it. I love the challenge that comes with it, the new palettes, the new color palette I have to develop to do it, the amount of time that I have to spend studying something that I didn't know much about. How do these fish hunt? Where do they live? What do people use to try to catch them? If I'm depicting an angler trying to hook into one of these exotic looking fish in some place that I'm not familiar with, I enjoy all of that, that kind of leads up to finally putting paint to canvas.
What have you learned about Americans and the American spirit as you learn how to paint all of these different scenes from all over the country?
I'm so blessed that the people that I work with, so many of them really are just salt of the earth people, but people that come to me. And a lot of these are people who were country folks. Gosh, every other piece I ship out of here, FedEx charges me an extra fee for, because they tell me these folks live off the grid out there, in no man's land. I find that these people are close to nature. These people, a lot of them are very, what's what I'm looking for? Very patriotic. They love this country. A lot of them are God-fearing people. They love their neighbor. More often than not, as I have interactions with people who buy my art or comment on my art or what have you, I come away from those conversations feeling very uplifted about the people, at least the people that I get a chance to interact with. And I think they're pretty indicative of people in general in this country that we live in. And so by that token, I find myself feeling pretty hopeful, pretty optimistic. I think people by and large are good. Every once in a while, we deal with people that are less than pleasant to work with. And I think that when it comes to the media and the news and sometimes what we hear and what we see, I think sometimes it's that real squeaky hinge, that real squeaky wheel that kind of rises to the surface and gets the attention. But mostly I just find that the people I interact with are pleasant as can be.
Dallin, where do you draw your inspiration?
So there are a couple of answers to that. The family that I grew up in was a very outdoorsy family. Within my family for generations, hunting, for example, has been a very multi-generational, very traditional element of my upbringing, my family, my background. And while I myself am not a very good hunter, I am someone who thoroughly enjoys an excuse to get out into the woods, to get out into nature, whether it's hiking, whether it's fishing, whether it's camping, whether it's just taking a road trip through the mountains, whether it's hunting. I just absolutely love nature. I just absolutely have a love affair with all things wildlife. I just feel so blessed to live in a part of the country, part of the world, where a lot of that is so readily available to me.
Sure.
And so all of that certainly factors into the work that I produce, that upbringing, that love, and that passion for the stuff that I'm generally painting. The other thing that inspires me is between my wife and I, we've got 6 kids, and so there are 8 of us all together, and I'm the sole provider here, and there's nothing like having a whole bunch of mouths to feed to really inspire you to do what needs done to make the money.
Yeah, get painting,
so
right?
Exactly. So that's the other source of my inspiration.
Right. Baby needs new shoes, right? I mean, I get it. So go buy lots and lots of art there at DallinLampsonArt.com, which is quick linked into the show story. There's something for everybody on there. And that's what I love about your work, is whether it is the cabin by the woods or whether it's the bull elk. I mean, there's all kind of stuff on there. Do you have one that you're working on right now that you're really excited about? I asked another painter this one time and they surprised me with their answer. So I'll ask it again. What do you have something right now that you're really excited about, or what are you working on?
So earlier we were talking about some of your travels, out here in this part of the country and from above, from this plane, you were able to bank out these LDS temples.
Yeah. Yeah.
Down below.
This was a trip that I took, and you and I were talking before we started the show, and I was telling everybody about this trip that I had taken, and it's someday there will be a book down the road, but it was a big aviation trip.
I hope so.
Yeah. Oh yeah. It was a 10 weeks, solo trip across this great land of ours from every single border. I mean, all the way around the country, and I got shanghaied on a ranch out there, for a couple of weeks out there outside of Driggs, Idaho, when the plane was broken down for nearly a month at a friend of mine's place. And, just stayed in a cabin with no water and no electricity, and fortunately there was one nearby, so it wasn't entirely but it makes for a better story, but what a great place to fall in love with the land and the people. And yeah, you navigate by the big, you know, LDS temples, the Latter-day Saint temples that are out there. I guess it's a temple. It's certainly
Very likely.
Yeah, yeah. big white structure. And enormous. And of course, you can just line up on them right there at Rexburg. That's right off the end of the runway. I mean, so you're working on one of these. What a magnificent monument out in the West to see those.
Well, you turn a corner on the freeway or a highway somewhere, and suddenly there's this, you know, beautiful, generally big, white, beautiful edifice in these LDS temples. And I only reference that because, incidentally, that is something I'm working on right now. I haven't done a lot of religious work per se, but recently some folks that, incidentally, I am a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, and we are the ones that build these temples we're talking about here. And a couple, some good friends of mine that I go to church with, they said, Dallin, you know, they have just finished building one of these beautiful temples here in Pocatello, where I live. And they said, we would love to commission you to do a painting of this temple. And so I've got this 22 by 28 inch canvas sitting on the easel right now, staring at me in a very intimidating sort of way,
waiting to be finished.
waiting to be finished,
right?
Exactly.
Well,
it's a little bit outside of my wheelhouse.
Well, I get that. But what a stark contrast!
So it's going to be fun.
Yeah, the contrast of those things against the land, and I can just imagine out there in Pocatello seeing that thing against the mountainside, what it must look like coming around the highway, or
really, especially in the evening, they light it up. The temple is well lit, and so you just see this thing sticking out like a beautiful sore thumb.
Well, there you go.
Up on the hillside here, yeah. So it for me, this project is fun in that it's something different, which I always like. It's a different kind of subject matter for me. It'll have some landscape and even just a little bit of wildlife sprinkled into the foreground, so that I'm not totally feeling naked as I'm painting this subject matter, but it's meaningful, so meaningful to the people that I'm doing it for, and because this is something that speaks to my faith as well, it is in turn meaningful to me, and so it's going to be a special project. Already I'm enjoying it. It's going to have me pulling out what few hairs I have left here. It's going to be some of that going on as well, but usually those are the ones that turn out to be the most gratifying in the end, the ones you kind of have to toil over a little bit to get it where you want it to look.
Well, if folks want to see you at a show, at an art show, I guess we're still doing those now with coming out of COVID and everything else. Where are you headed off to next to display your art?
Gosh, I wish I had a good answer to that. I just finished up a show in Anaconda, Montana. Yes, there is such a place. Anaconda, Montana. I did a little show there, just, what was it, 2 or 3 day show over the weekend. And frankly, I've got nothing on the calendar right now. Nothing else going on at the moment.
But that's the sign of a successful artist, one who is not...
Well, that's what I tell people.
...is not going from show to show. You can find his work, as he mentioned, at Bass Pro and Cabela's, which is where I saw it one day stumbling in. And I think the website there that's quick linked into the show story is just a phenomenal resource for any fan or person just discovering your work to take a look at it. Talk to me about delivery. You have prints, and I'm guessing you can also print on canvas these days.
In fact, probably the bulk of what I offer anymore, certainly the bulk of what you'll find on the website, is a canvas product. The work that I have there is represented by two different publishers, one back east in Michigan, at least east of me here in Idaho, Grand Rapids, Michigan, and the other a little bit closer to home in Blackfoot, Idaho. They also do some publishing for me. And those products that they generate with my art, those are what you'll find on our website. And just about all of that is a canvas product. I do offer some paper prints here in the studio, but I don't even list those on the website currently. I just tell folks, hey, if there's something you see here on canvas that you really like but want to see it on paper or need it on paper, reach out to me in person, and if we can accommodate you, we sure will.
I think it's wonderful. Dallin Lamson, the time has flown by. You can find him at dallinlamsonart.com. It's quick linked into the show story, our wildlife artist. Dallin, I cannot thank you enough, though, for coming on here. As we wrap things up.
The feeling is mutual.
Well, listen, as we wrap things up, what do you want people to know in the last 30 seconds that we have left here? Give us the parting shot, the closing comment, if you will, Dallin.
That's a lot of pressure. I would say this: as you look around you, just about everything is art, from the buildings that we erect to the stationery that's on your business papers, to your business card, to the stuff you've got hanging on your walls, to the clothes that you wear. I mean, to the stuff you see on the boxes and cans as you walk down the grocery aisle. It's all art, the poetry, the beautiful music you love to hear. So don't downplay the importance of art in this wonderful life that we have in the short time that we're down here on this beautiful earth. Take some time to give it a look, to enjoy it, to breathe it in.
I love it. Dallin Lamson, it's been history worth saving. Thanks so much for coming on. Folks, if you want to follow along with us, you can do so right there at facebook.com/historyworthsaving or the HWS History Worth Saving podcast. Even more easy than that, sign up for our newsletter. How about that? At historyworthsaving.com. Sign up for the newsletter. Never miss an episode. My thanks again to Dallin for coming on, and my thanks to you for listening. If you've enjoyed this, share it with a friend, and if not, well, share it with someone who you think might like it. Thanks again for listening. So long for now, everyone.